I need to tell you how much I love the church. I don't just mean our church. You know how much I love Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. But I mean the beautiful, maddening, global church, which now claims two persons out of every seven on the planet. It is not a one-stop shopping store for religious consumers. It is not fodder for scandalmongers. So I ask you, I beg you, plead, cajole, and otherwise exhort you to adopt new ideas about the church. Let's begin with a noble theme. The church has a vocation. God created the church and gave it a job to do in this world. Now, this theme comes from the biblical writing, Ephesians. Why should we care about a writing from 2,000 years ago? We should care for several reasons. First of all, it has survived for 2,000 years. Even if you don't like old things, doesn't it strike your curiosity how people would have preserved this writing when most of the other writings of human beings have disappeared altogether? Second of all, Ephesians is in the Bible. It made the cut. Most religious writings, none in the last 1900 years, have been excluded from the Bible. How did Ephesians make it in among that elite circle? Well, we have to read it to find out. And third, through the centuries, most Christians have read Ephesians not simply as a message from the Apostle Paul, but as a message from God. That's how I read it. That's how this church reads it. That's how the church reads it. That's why I don't want you to miss it. So let's get started. If you have your Bible, I hope you'll turn with me for the first of many times to the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians is one of five letters that we know about for sure that the Apostle Paul wrote about while he was in jail. It kind of gives it an extra meaning to know that he was not a free man when he wrote this. Here's what he said to open up the writing. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. People often refer to Ephesians as a letter because it opens up in the form of an ancient letter. In that form, the writer put his name first, Paul. And sometimes, as here, he said something about himself. An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That gave him authority to write to the Ephesians. Then he identified the people he was writing to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. We're going to come back to that entire line. Finally, ancient letters open with a greeting to the people to whom he was writing. And a lovely greeting this one is. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The name the apostle called the Ephesian Christians stops us in our tracks. The saints in Ephesus. Saints. Why would you call church people saints? The ones we know aren't. Maybe he meant Saint Benedict or Saint Genevieve. It can't be. The Roman Catholic Church idea of saints had not yet been invented. I know it's hard to get your head around it, but the Apostle Paul was talking about those beautiful, clever, infuriating, impossible people who met together every Sunday to worship Jesus. But why call them saints? Great question. Let me tell you what I found. Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians originally in Greek. The word saints comes from a Greek word which literally translated would be holy ones. That's even more troubling than saints. Can you imagine yourself saying to your friends, oh yeah, I'm one of the holy ones over at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church? Not going to happen. I mean, the word saints and the word holy are not going to be used to describe us in public. And maybe you wish the apostle hadn't said it, but he did, and here's why. Paul was a Jew. He knew the Jewish Bible from stem to stern. In the Jewish Bible, the words saints and the word holy refer to a relationship with God. They also refer to the right way to live in that relationship. For example, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, the Lord God said to the newly created nation Israel, you are going to be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Calling them saints or holy ones or a holy nation did not mean that they lived up to their high privilege. They didn't. In fact, the Old Testament tells the sad story of how of God's less than successful efforts to teach his people to live like his holy people. They often failed, but they never stopped being the people of God. And that's the idea that I want to put into your head. It is a game changer. Being holy matters more than what you do. Being holy is a matter of who you are before it is a matter of what you do. When the Apostle Paul called the Ephesian Christians saints, he was using a loaded word. It was his way of saying that they were the people of God. They were the ones that God had created to carry forward the vocation of Israel into the world. General Stanley McChrystal commanded U.S. forces in Afghanistan from May of 2009 through June of 2010. Recently, I heard a lecture from General McChrystal on his experience as a company commander during war games at the National Training Center in California. He was leading an armored group, and they spent the entire night planning a classic dawn attack. Dawn came, their forces moved out, and the enemy wiped them out in very little time. He said they barely broke a sweat. Then they brought up what the Army calls an after-action review, which is a way of pointing out to McChrystal and the others in great detail all the things they had done wrong. McChrystal called it leadership by humiliation. He said, I felt lower than a snake's belly. He went off to his battalion commander to apologize to him for his failure as the company commander. And his battalion commander said to him, Stanley, you did great. And McChrystal said, in one sentence, he lifted me. He put me back on my feet, and he taught me that leaders can let you fail and yet not let you be a failure. Being a soldier is about who you are before it is about what you do. Being holy, in the biblical sense of the word, is about who you are before it is about what you do. Now, how did those fine Ephesians become saints? Well, look back at the last phrase at the end of verse 1. The saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Their loyalty to Jesus Christ made them saints, made them the people of God who carry the vocation of Israel in the world. Do you think Brandywine Valley Baptist Church would be included among the saints by the Apostle Paul? I can't think why not. We believe the same gospel the Ephesians believed. We are loyal to Jesus Christ the way the Ephesians were loyal to Jesus Christ. We are among the saints. We are part of the church that carries forward the vocation of Israel in the world. Now, since Ephesians is about the church's vocation, I'd like to propose that we make April Read Ephesians Month. Whatever else you're reading right now, whatever else you're studying right now, would you make it an item on your agenda to read Ephesians at least 2 times a week, each week between today and May the 5th? In addition, or at least as part of it, would you also dedicate one time between today and May the 5th when you read or listen to Ephesians all the way through at one sitting? If you don't like to read that much, you should listen to the Bible. And you don't have to go out and buy the Bible on CD in order to do that. In fact, I'd like to put up on the screen a resource for you that is remarkable called YouVersion.com. If you go to that website, you can download I don't know how many versions of the Bible in I don't know how many languages to your smartphone, to your iPod, or your tablet. And it's free, and you can read it even when you are offline. The great thing about it is that when you bring it up on your phone or tablet or whatever, you can push a little button and it will read the Bible to you. Tom downloaded it, and he's going to play it for us.
The Book of Ephesians, Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's all right there on your phone. You can pop your earphones in there, put them in, turn the lights off. You don't bother anybody. And you can hear the whole book of Ephesians at one time. So let's do that. Reading Ephesians or listening to Ephesians like that gets us all on the same page. It prepares you to hear the sermons to come, and it will make the Bible a more open book to you. And now, communion. But wait, do you remember how Jesus interpreted the wine? He said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." A covenant is an agreement that brings a relationship of commitment into being between God and his people. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are affirming the covenant that brought us into existence as the church. The waters here run deep. We're going to map them out in the weeks that lie ahead. For today, we simply affirm our vocation of carrying forward the purpose of Israel in the world. If you are a member of the covenant through your loyalty to Jesus Christ, even if you're not a part of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, we want you to eat and to drink with us. If you're not yet a follower of Christ, if you haven't given your loyalty to him, why not? Why not right here, right now? There's no magic to it. It's an act of your will, a free action in which you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you have come alive from the grave. And then somewhere, somehow, you declare publicly, Jesus is Lord. But if you haven't done that, let the bread and the cup go by. We don't embarrass you if you do. We don't call attention to that. But this is the supper for those who are part of the covenant, for those who are the church, who carry forward Israel's vocation in the world. Our brother Steve Schombach from the board is going to pray for the bread. We serve everyone and we eat it together. And may God bless you. Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Father, to you who created everything, we give thanks. We give thanks for your grace. We give thanks for your love. We give thanks.